freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Glory to His name.
God, you've been my healer, Lord. Oh, you're my healer. By your stripes, oh Lord, and by your stripes, I've been set free.
Say, Lord, I need something from you this morning, amen. If you ask Brother Simon, if you come lead us in a word of prayer, amen. And also pray for Sanders family.
Praise God, saints. Just bow our heads. Dear Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're humble, Lord, by another opportunity, Lord, to come to your house, God, Lord. Lord, to see the faces, God, of each other, God, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ, God. Lord, when you looked at your natural family here on earth, Lord, you said, in a way you said that your spiritual family was your real family, God.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, here's our true family here, God, Lord, and we're trying to press on, God, with each other, God, Lord, and encourage one another, God, and Lord Jesus, Lord, just showing up, God, Lord, is half the battle, God, Lord, to where we can, Lord, look and see our brother there still standing, God,
Amen.
Lord, the world hasn't taken a grip upon him, God, or our sister, God, hasn't fallen here or there, Lord, but Lord, we're still standing, God, Lord, by your grace, God. We thank you for that, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, just be with the Sanders family, God, Lord. Lord, it seems like what you said, God, the dreams, Lord, are about to come to pass here, God, Lord. Be with that family, God. And be with Brother Bill, God, Lord. Make straight ways, God, all the way past through that Jordan River, God, Lord Jesus, God. And Lord, be with him, God, Lord, if he's to cross here soon, God, Lord, just bless that brother, God. Lord Jesus, Lord, it's all election, God, Lord. Just, it's all we see anymore, God. Just election, God, and your favor on some and not on others, God, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just love you so much, Lord. Bless the tithes and offerings, God, Lord. Be with our pastor, brings a word, God, Lord. And Lord, be with our sister Luann, God, Lord, as she's missing today, looks like, Lord. Bless the saints of God, Lord. Help them. Song,
yes,
God, Lord, may you receive our praise, God. May you feel welcome here, Lord, this morning, Jesus, Lord. Just we don't want it to be another Sunday service, God,
yes,
Lord, but Lord, we're looking forward to that word, God, what you'd have to break to us, God.
Amen.
And we just love you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, think about it during the week, amen. Keep their family in prayer. Brother Bill, he's not doing too well, amen, but they have a peace about it that he's made everything right with the Lord, and I believe he's going to go on the honor to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just pray that everything would, if it be his time to go, that it would go peacefully and that no pain or nothing like that, and just to be with the family for a loss there. Amen. But let's just sing that song, Hallelujah Anyhow, amen. How many knows, no matter what that devil tries to get in your way, he's not even in the race, saints. Amen. You're in the race. He's just trying to detour you. Amen. Say Hallelujah Anyhow, amen.
And Hallelujah Anyhow.
just singing a song I feel like traveling on. How many feel like traveling on today? Amen. Amen. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering towers, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others sing. Let others sing a home below, for I feel like, amen, hallelujah. Oh, with streams overflow and waves overflow, I feel like traveling on. One more time. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, and I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, my Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I seek. I feel like traveling on. One more time. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Oh, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause, saints. Amen. Amen. We'll just sing that song. Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him.
Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus has lifted me. Wherever I go, and wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus has lived. And why don't you greet your neighbor when we sing that again? Wherever I go, I'll praise Him. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. For He surrounds me like a sea. I lift up the name of Jesus. I lift up.
Song, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me, amen. As our pastor, Brother Campbell, prepare to come, amen.
Amen. And I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. And I know it was the blood for me.
Streaming down the blood came streaming down for me. was the blood for me. I know he's coming, I know he's coming back. Well, I know he's coming back. Well, I know he's coming back for me. Well, one day when I was lost, he died upon that cross. And I know he's coming back for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see those able to make it out this morning. Amen. Happy to be a Christian. Happy to love God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're just going to ask if you just pull your Bibles out. We've got a lot to cover this morning. We'll do our best to do that. Just a little bit of a teaching this morning, perhaps. Just show you a few things here that the Lord has brought it by. I'd like to say thank you for all those that might have found out it was my birthday a couple days ago and had people stopping by and giving gifts and so forth. And I thought a gift enough was leaving 33. But anyway, by His grace, we were certainly appreciative of that. Amen. It's certainly good to know that you're loved. Amen. So we appreciate that, and just say we love everybody as well, and we thank God for just allowing us to continue on. Amen. When things get rough and get hard, God always He always makes a way. He always just stands in the gap for you. He's just a great God. Amen. So we appreciate all that, and. Like I said, we have a little bit of a thought to cover this morning. Might be a little bit, a lot of scriptures to go through, amen. Just kind of been right along the lines of what we've been going through. We do just say to those who have missed, there's obviously some, as far as I'm concerned, some powerful things that have been spoken, especially about the church ages and things. And I've been even thinking about these things, I've been saying, oh, Lord Jesus, God, you're revealing this stuff, God. Certainly, this word, God, you need us to know this in order to make a rapture, and I believe that with all my heart, and I do see the pertinence in those things that God has done, amen. But anyway, if you had your Bibles, we like to start out in Isaiah 14, 12. After that, we're going to go to Matthew 24, 23. Might seem we're starting out with a tough little place here, but that's all right. We'll make sense of this after a bit here, and just want to go through a few things. I feel the Lord has shown at this hour. Pray to be a blessing to you. Amen. Might not be a screamer or shouter, but remember, when it comes down to the church ages, there's a reason why people don't like to spend a lot of time in the church ages, is because it's not more of a revealer of great things. It's a revealer of Satan and a lot of the things he did. Amen. But yet we understand when the seals come out, it just really brought the fullness of everything to us. Amen. So in Isaiah 14, 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Praise God. Amen. Thank God Satan is cut down. Praise God. Matthew 24, 23. Matthew 24, 23, it says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just, perhaps, let's just go to one more portion of Scripture. I'd like to go very quickly to Psalms 21, or 22, verse 1. It says here in the 22nd chapter, verse 1, it says, "To the chief musician upon a jeleth Shahar, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here this morning, Lord. And God, in this morning's sermon, Lord, we need help, God. We need, Lord, a God to speak to us, Lord. We pray, God, you'd certainly, Lord, make thyself known to us, God. Give us, O God, the revelation, God, that we could, O God, go further into the mystery of this age, God. A church, O God, with a restored word, with a restored relationship, with a restored power from God Almighty, God. We just ask, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you'd certainly bring us up, God, into the heavens, God, into the place, God, that you have called us to be, Lord. We just ask, God, you'd certainly, Lord, move ourselves aside, God. Forgive us if there's any sin in the way, God. And God, I pray, Lord, may, O God, the spirit of Satan be so, O God, revealed to the church that the church can withstand and come against every wile that Satan might bring against it, Lord. God, we want to be overcomers, God. We just pray you give us strength, O God, this morning. O God, as we desire to have thy word shown to us, God. Lord, we just move ourselves aside, Lord. Take full control, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ said together, amen. You may be seated. Amen. As we've spent a lot of time dealing with Ephesus and Smyrna, and preached a lot of sermons therein, and by the grace of God, it just seems like the more we look at it, there's more there to find. Amen. But this morning, we'd like to maybe flip the corner and maybe go on the other side of the grain, so to say. And we've worked a lot and showed Christ in a lot of those things and shown basically the parallels that you could make between the good and what God does and how God has foreshadowed things. This morning we'd like to entitle a sermon called The Shadow of Antichrist. Amen. And I pray this will be a blessing to you. And if I had a topic this morning, maybe something I could add to it, I would like to call it So Close It Would Deceive the Elected. Amen. But anyway, we'd like to move into the shadow of Antichrist this morning and just really show you a few things of what we're looking at. And perhaps take us a little bit deeper into the thought of what we are. We are overcomers, amen? We are victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? We have received a God who has called himself an author and a finisher of the faith. And by the scripture, we understand that this God loves us dearly, amen? He loves us so dearly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I don't want to hang that up at a football game. I want to hang that up on the door of my heart. Amen. And I want God to have that shown to all nations, to all men, that they may see the love of God shed forth abroad in these hearts. Amen. So by the grace of God, we want to perhaps jump into the shadow of all these things because we understand what we are looking at today. We are looking at the fullness of what the bride is to be, and we are looking at what the fullness of what Satan is to become, right? So we basically see the fullness of God made known and the fullness of Satan. Amen. But notice, if we would even have a chance to go into our quotes, we would find out that neither has fully come to fruit, but they are coming to fruit. Amen? Right. So just like perhaps when you plant a seed, right now I've got in my garden, I've got little zucchini that are coming forth. They're not ready to eat yet. I wouldn't want to eat them, right? I've got blueberries growing on my blueberry bushes. You know what? I've tried one before a little early and they don't taste too good. It's always a little bitter, not quite so tasty. But if I let it ripen, it puts forth the fruit for what it is. So in that thought, the bride is putting forth fruit right now, but maybe it's not quite in a position to be fully made known to the world yet. Just as Satan, we understand that all the diabolical cunning of his workings, he is what? His fullness of what he is to become in this age is not some sort of a Satan on display, but it's actually an ecumenical moving that shows his power over God. Amen? Not that he so desires. Of course he wants to rule all. But the greatest thing that Satan could do is rule God's people. Praise God. And his desire to do that is in the subtlety of what Satan is. Amen. So I pray that this won't be a little bit, this won't be too bad. Amen. But it's actually kind of astounding when you begin to look at these things and to see the powerful workings that Satan has, but how God so perfectly put it in his word that you can't get away from it. So in this morning, we, like I said, we're moving with this thought, and we looked and we seen that Satan was called out, and God had called him out in Isaiah 14. He called him out in Ezekiel 28, and he had actually come forth and actually showed what Satan was in the beginning, showed his fault, showed what he would be, showed his desire of what to do. Amen. And we understand that here we see when we move back to Matthew 24, 23, 20, and 24, we find out that now we see the same thing working in humans, in individuals. And they're actually manifesting Satan just like Satan himself personally would do. Amen. Just like how we are to manifest Christ perfectly, without spot, without wrinkle. Amen. Amen. You are supposed to be purely Christ. Amen. You about ready to jump, shout, and do cartwheels yet? Amen. That's why we live. Right. You know the reason why you're not satisfied with where you're at? Is because you're not making Christ manifested the way the seed is showing it's supposed to be. So because that seed is desiring for the fullness of the manifestation, you cannot find a place of satisfaction without being there. Amen? Praise God. So now notice, as we had went through the scriptures, we had shown a lot of things about how David, and we understand that David was a bloody man, and we could go through that all day long, but we just want to lay a few thoughts in there as we begin to lay the foundation for the Antichrist. But we understand that David himself, he was a type of Christ, a perfect type of Christ in many ways. And we find out that in the book of Psalms, and many times he sings these psalms, and he sings these songs and so forth, that would actually bring forth the statements of Christ, the statements of what would happen, and it would be so perfect that it would just be, how in the world could it be done unless God would do it himself, right? And we want to start out with Psalms 22 and beginning to look at this here. And we went to the first verse. I'd like to read that again and maybe perhaps put a little thought to this. But in Psalms 22:1, we want to skip the little announcing here and just move right to the scripture, what it says. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We realize that when Christ was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. So we see David in that same position in his life. He said, God, why are you forsaking me? Now, notice what he begins to say. He says, why art thou so far from helping me? Amen. And when Christ was hanging on the cross, he realized there was no help from that punishment that he was under, because he was actually taking the punishment for the sins of me and you, right? So praise God for it. But by the grace of God, we see that he does not stop there. It was time for help. He said, why have you forsaken me? Because the plan must be made perfect, and Christ was to fulfill that. But yet, when we look at the finishing of this, it says, and from the words of my roaring. Only a lion roars. Amen. Now, remember how this works very simply, that Christ was the lion of the tribe of Judah, but here he was what? He was a lion serving the purpose of a lamb, because the sacrifice had to be perfect, amen. And David, under the inspiration, he's seen that the lamb was actually a lion roaring, amen, crying out. then we understand that, notice, when the lion roared, the lion died, right? The lion passed on. But notice, when he come back on the church, he was now coming back on them as a lion anointing, right? So it was the same word falling on them so that they could have the original word themselves. So notice, a lion would make way for a lion anointing. Praise God. So now, just for a few more seconds here in Psalms 22, 16, it says, "For dogs have compassed me," Gentile dogs, just like Rome, huh? "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Oh, thank God for the inspiration. The 17th verse, "I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me." He was hanging on a cross in public. Psalms 22, 18, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture," which we know the Romans did. They took his vestures and they cast lots upon it. Now, notice, I'm laying all this down just to show you how perfectly that David was in Christ, amen? But I want us to maybe move in our scriptures, if we could. I'd like to take a little turn to 2 Samuel 15:30. Said I'm going to go through David just a little bit here, and then we're going to jump right to the Antichrist and show you a few things there. Now, in 2 Samuel 15:30, it says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and wept as he went, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now notice here, and we understand how the type works so perfectly, that God would literally allow what? He would allow David to become a rejected king, and Absalom, his son, to drive him out. Okay? And once he had done this, we understand he was on Mount Olives, and he was, what, weeping there as a rejected king. Just like as several hundred years later, the son of David himself, Jesus Christ, he would come up and he would what? He would be a rejected king on the Mount of Olives, just like David did, right? And we understand in Matthew 23, 33, if we could continue this, I want us to catch this. Because notice where he says all these things at. In the 33rd verse, Matthew 23, 33, now understand how amazing this is. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets, wise men, scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, on whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Now, what's ironic about this is we move to the next scripture, and it says in the 37th verse, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." We understand that here he is, what? Crying out, a rejected king. The religious denied him. The religious, what? They decided that, what? It was time for another king. They did not like the King of Kings that God had sent them. But notice how it's so tied in perfectly that the point of rejection is upon the religious, okay? And notice, I love it how this is said, because when you read the commentators, they actually make a great thought here, because when they start to talk about Jesus Christ, he's calling himself a bird here, as a mother hen would cover her brood. And I like this, so interesting to me, that the commentator John Gill said, he said, so the Shekinah with the Jews is called the holy bird. And it says that phrase, to take oneself or to come to the trust under the wings of the Shekinah is often used for to become a proselyte to the true religion and worship of a true God, as Jethro and Ruth and the Moabites did. So notice they're saying that literally to the Jews, it was their sign when it was made known that a bird would be trying to cover them, to protect them. But here he was, what? He was trying to protect them, but he was a rejected Shekinah. But notice they even called the Shekinah the great bird. Which when the Shekinah or the Spirit of God come down, it come down as a dove. It was the Word in action. We could go in the Old Testament, you could definitely see that Christ was what? He even tied himself as an eagle, right? And what? He would tell them to come under the wings of the old great eagle. Amen. Now just for maybe a thought here, we see that even in the Apocrypha, when God comes and speaks to the people in Second Address 1:30, it says, I gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but now what shall I do unto you? I will cast you out from my face. Interesting. We know that the Apocrypha is not fully inspired. That's why it's not fully in there. But who's to say part of it isn't? But anyway, not to take anything away, but just to add a little light to where we're going, because you see, the thing of all this is pretty powerful how God shows him and pre-types himself and makes himself known to the people. But remember what we're doing here. We're not fully showing David, just showing a few things about how he more typed Christ, but we're desiring to go into the Antichrist. Okay? So now, let's just move a little bit into the other direction just for a minute, because remember, well, let's just finish this very quickly, because remember, when David was upon Mount Olives, there came a Shimei, one of Saul's sons or whatever it was, his ancestors, however you want to work it. But anyway, there he was, and what? He put a curse. He began to curse and try to persecute Christ. He kicked dust, threw stones, spit upon him, and did all these things. And remember, there was an intervening going on by Abishai. He said, you want me to take off the head of this dog? Just like you see the persecution coming upon Christ. And Peter, what, drew sword to try to take out the high priest's servant. But just like David said, he said, leave him alone. Jesus told Peter, leave him alone. He said, my servants don't come out with swords and staves to fight. This was the plan. The same anointing. David said, leave him alone. Because what? He said, this was of God. Can you imagine that? The same man that was killing people left and right who were against him, for some reason catches inspiration and says, no, this is God. You think that's crazy? Think about when Goliath come out. Goliath called him a dog. David said, okay, I'm going to kill you right now. Now one man with David, an almighty man, are sitting here, and one man comes against them. Why do you think Abishai said, just one second here, let me take him? It's perfect. It was an anointing on him for a trial in his life. You have to see that, because that's what God does to you. There is an anointing for every season in your life. And God will perfectly place you with the right inspiration to bring out the type of Christ in your life. Wait a minute. There's not supposed to be the type of Christ in your life? You are the ultimate type of Christ. You have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Everything that everybody sees on you should say Christ. So now I want us to move now into the Antichrist spirit. You starting to see where we're going here? But notice how God, He's so perfect in how He moves, okay? Now, I want us to start out, if we could, I want to go to Ezekiel 28, verse 12. We've read this many times. I want to hit on a few of these things. Ezekiel 28, 12. Says here, it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So notice, in starting to make a switch here, now I want to move into the spirit of Antichrist. And notice what we first see about Satan is the scripture says that he is perfect in beauty. Interesting. Brother, where are you going with this? Now, here's the thing. We're showing you the shadow of Antichrist, okay? Now, notice this as we jump down a little bit in the 14th verse. It says, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was anointed, but remember, he was anointed also for the purpose to deceive. Was he the only cherub? I say not. But he was the anointed cherub. Which we understand, he was giving worship to the king. Now, notice, 15th verse. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So notice the visage of what everyone saw of Satan. He was perfect in every way he had. The only one who knew otherwise was God himself. But notice there was a day of reckoning that would come called what? The iniquity to be found in him. Okay? So now, notice this as we begin to, like I said, work through this. I want us to go to 2 Samuel 14. I'd like to turn there in your Bibles. It says here in the 25th verse, says, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. Notice, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish. Perfectly perfect in visage. No one could see anything wrong with him. Let's take it a little bit farther. Now, notice this. 2 Samuel 15, 6. It says, and on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. They could not even find a fault with him. He had worked on them, and they could not find nothing wrong with his ways. Well, you have to understand how captivity works. Why was Satan able to take over a third of the angels in heaven? Because God gave Satan time to show the expression of what he was. And notice here, Absalom given time, he was able to win their hearts, just like Satan was able to win their hearts. Well, you say, brother, that's kind of interesting. Well, okay. Now, notice if we begin to look also next in John 6:70. Got a lot of Bible verses today. John 6:70, it says very simply, Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." Now notice, Matthew 26:21. A lot of scriptures. Keep up if you can. Matthew 26:21, it says, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Notice, "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" Judas was so perfect before their eyes that they could not even see a fault to blame him. But instead, they looked at themselves and says, "Is it me?" Notice Marriage and Divorce, 1965, paragraph 130. We have that, brother. It says here, it says, "Sin is pretty. They picture Judas as some old drunken sot out here on the street somewhere, and mouth hanging with flies in it, and so forth." As Judas, Judas was handsome, strong, a deceiver. Strong. Handsome. You couldn't find nothing wrong with his visage. He just looked like the all-around man. Notice, I like how he finishes this. It ain't that guy to watch around you. It ain't a guy that the old farmer come in with a pair of overalls on to watch around your wife. It's that slicker. He's the rascal. It's what a real deceiver is. You're not worried about the guy that stinks like a skunk. You gotta watch out for the handsome guy. The guy that's got a way with his words. And this is what Judas was. He had a way about him that was able to deceive even the 12 with his looks and with his ways. So now we see that Satan has this characteristic. Absalom has this characteristic. And now we see Judas is on the same line as well. Well, what are we doing? We're showing you how the Antichrist spirit works through the lineage. We're going somewhere with this. So now, as we continue to move on here, I want to go next, if we could. Maybe I'll just read it for sake of time. If we were to go to 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. And it says here, it says, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gileonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo." while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. So notice it was being done behind David's back. It was actually a secret or a conspiracy, okay? Praise God. Now, but notice in Luke 22, verse 6, I like this. Because what? Now, notice how this is so perfect. Now we move to Judas. And it says, and he promised, Luke 22, 6, he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. The conspiracy was to what? To dethrone David. The religious in the day of Judas, their desire was to dethrone Jesus. Judas, his desire was to dethrone Jesus. And notice how it says this in Mark 14:10. It's okay. I told you we kind of be teaching this morning. And it says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Now remember, it was Ahithophel. He was what? He was a counselor to David. And now he was working underground to counsel Absalom. And the scripture says that Ahithophel, he was like an oracle of God both to David and Absalom. Now here's the kicker, which is going to blow your minds. Do you know who Ahithophel is? Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandpa. So notice this, that Ahithophel has Eliam. And Eliam is the father of Bathsheba. And now we see Ahithophel going behind David's back. Because David is an adulterer. Just like Judas in watching would look, what? Judas would look at Christ and call him a child of fornication. That's what he did, because he did not have the revelation that he was the Christ. Because the revelation of the Christ was that he was a virgin birth. Now, it's amazing because Ahithophel actually fills out a lot of this typing as well. Because remember what Ahithophel did. When his advice was not taken, he went and hung himself in a tree.
Right.
Amazing. So now, you see how this is just so interesting, how God allows these things to be so perfect. Well, just remember what's going on here. We're moving to where we're at. But we're showing you the Spirit and how the Spirit goes through.
Amen.
Judas was so good. Wait, let me say this right. Satan, Absalom, and Judas were so good with flattery, their words, and everything that they did that the people didn't even see it. You say, oh, I don't know about Satan. What do you think Satan's doing every day, all day? He has people so deceived that they don't even know Jesus is real. But that is his purpose. That's his mission, to turn the elect from the word. So now, we starting to see this? Making good sense? Okay. Now notice in 2 Samuel 15, verse 4. Says Absalom had said moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suitor cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took and kissed him. said, oh, if I were king. If I were king. Notice Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down from the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend from heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will also sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will exalt myself. Absalom, I will exalt myself. I got the quotes. The prophet said that Judas, he didn't do it just for money. He did it for popularity. He was looking for a position. I will exalt myself. Because what? They'd look at Jesus and say, look at him, he was evil. That was Satan's trick. Well, remember, I've said this two times, maybe through two or three times here, that remember the chief thought of Luciferianism is the very fact that they say that Satan, what? In the Garden of Eden, the serpent, he enlightened. Satan enlightened the people. He wanted to enlighten them. And God was a mean grandpa that didn't want the people to know nothing. And I don't know about you, I ain't glad about the condition I'm in. I want to be like they were in the Garden of Eden. I want that holy veil. I want the Spirit of God with me, amen. I want Jesus walking with me in the cool of the garden in the evening, amen. That's what I want. But it was Satan's desire to exalt himself because he was against what? He was against his father. Not naturally speaking, but God is your father as well. God is wanting to what? Why is he always called a father? Father, sister, brother. We've done that plenty of times before. But now I want us to see here the pride that's moving behind this. All three lines, we see the same thing coming forth. Deception. Lust for power. Exaltation. Pretty amazing, isn't it? The scripture would be so clear that they would do secret deception to deceive. Well, that's like your prophet said. Well, we could say it ourselves. That the devil, he don't come out with a pitchfork with two horns on his head and a tail. We know he don't do that. His deception is by conspiracy. He works behind the scenes in your life to get you against church, to get you against God, to get you against your brother, to get you against your sister. And then we find out that at the end of the end of the ball game, it was Satan all along. And that's what he does. So now, I could go on with this quite a bit here, but I'm gonna try to move on pretty quick by the grace of God. And we want to see that literally, you'll find in the scripture so clear that just even the thought, you look at the three, we find out that even in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Right. Who's that? That's what Satan wants to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. Then we find out, 2 Samuel 17:1, said, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. Interesting, he says 12. And I will arise and pursue after David this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. He wasn't worried about killing everybody else. He just wanted to kill the king. Just like Judas. He said, here he is. He said, it's the one that I give a kiss. Right. And Jesus said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Right. Judas didn't say, get Peter too. Get them, get them, get them. The conspiracy was only against God. Which is why now you see that things have evolved in such a great way. Because now when you put the Holy Ghost in people, that means Satan has to come after you. He has to come after you because the King is literally in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You shall be persecuted for righteousness' sake.
Amen.
Now, are you following the line? You see how perfect God is? Now, I want to go to maybe a few more portions here, and then we're going to move to where we're desiring to go this morning. But I'd like us to go to Matthew 27, verse 5. It says here, Matthew 27, 5, and it says, He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. Very simple, Judas hung himself. Ready to need to read that scripture? But it's good to see that scripture. Judas hung himself. Now, 2 Samuel 18:9 says, And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule was under him, went away. Judas was hanging by the oak. Judas! And then Absalom... I said that backwards. Absalom was hanging by the oak, and Judas was hanging what? He hung himself by the tree as well. Now notice, says in Isaiah 14, 19, says, But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. A branch. There. What? What's a branch? It's something that hangs off the tree. Now, you can do what you want with that one. But anyway, says, And as thy raiment, the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under foot. Notice what's next. We see Satan, that you're like one that goeth down into the pit. Second Samuel 18, 16 says, And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, laid a very great heap of stones upon him. All Israel fled, everyone to his tent. And we know that Judas went down into the pit. Okay? So notice how we see these things moving so perfectly through. And now we get to the manner of where we're going, okay? Now, I want us to turn our Bibles to 2 Samuel 17:8. When Christ was on the cross, we see it typed. Now what? He was like a roaring lion. He was a lion roaring out. Now notice here in 2 Samuel 17, it says, For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men. They be chaffed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps, her cubs, in the field. And thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, There is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. So if we would actually read all this, Ahithophel gave this counsel, go kill him right now. We read that earlier. And now Hushai, who's with David, but actually comes back and works in David's favor, gives Absalom the advice, okay, remember your dad, he's a serious fighter here. He's a mighty man of war. And the people that are with him are just as tough as him. I don't think you should go after them because they're pretty tough. And if you go after them right now and they're mad, like bears who somebody took their cubs, Not a good idea, Absalom. But actually, it was Ahithophel's advice that was the oracle. This actually worked to David's favor. But notice as we finish this in the 17:10, it says, "And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men." Valiant, brave, courageous, intrepid, in danger, heroic. So now we see the type moving around that those that are with David, and the commentators say that this was speaking of David as well, that they have a heart of a lion. Which we understand that that's what David was. He was a type of Christ. He had that lion anointing on him. But notice the people that were with him carried that anointing as well. Well, who's the one that brought the axe into existence? Well, the Holy Ghost did. But he did it through the ones that were with David. They had the hearts. Why? Because they were with the lion himself. They were the lion's chosen seed. So now, let's go a little bit with this here. If we'd like to move in our Bibles next, I told you, this is just scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Now, I want us to go to a next place in 1 Peter 5:8. Like I said, I'm working with the thoughts that I feel like the Lord is bringing to me. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says here, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So what is this in 2 and 1 Peter 5? This is literally after the Holy Ghost fell, when the anointing is on, and when now we see Peter coming back around and saying that Satan is not a lion, but he's as a lion. But we know that the original anointing is a lion. But Satan looks like a lion. He's acting like a lion, but he is not the lion. Or the people of the lion. Well, brother, what are you trying to say about this? Okay, let me read you a couple quotes. If I had a quote, brother, I'd like to go to Church Age Book 78, Resume of the Church Ages, chapter 10. I love this. It says, "Remember, while Jesus was upon earth, so was Judas. Each came from a different spirit, and upon death, each went to his own place. The Spirit of Christ later came back upon the true church." Notice! "And the spirit of Judas came back upon the false church." See how that Judas spirit came back as a rider on a white horse. It was white. So close to the real, just as Judas was so close to Jesus. A crown was given to him, white horse rider. How that spirit was now in the leader of the Nicolaitan system, and he was crowned. He was a triple crowned pope who sat in his temple calling himself the vicar of Christ. Wow. What are you saying, brother? Very simply, look at what's going on. Now, is this the word of God or is it not? When Christ died, what? He said, "It's needful that I die because my spirit's got to come on you." He was literally bringing his spirit on him. But if you notice the spirit of Judas, the spirit of Judas we see was perfectly typed in Absalom and in Satan himself. And now that's why it is the same spirit. It's not Judas himself. It was the spirit of Satan working through Judas. And you ask, how can he type Satan so perfectly? When you look in the scripture, there's two places it says that Satan entered into Judas. It's pretty good, pretty easy to look like Satan when Satan is in you. Just like it should be easy if you have the Spirit of God to look like Christ Himself. But this is the deception of the age. Remember, all this has been played out, but now we're fighting the mixture of everything that was made known before in this day. Okay? So now, if we could show you that. Now remember, in Revelation 6, 1 and 2, and let's read the second verse. It said, I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. We know this was the Antichrist spirit. But remember how tricky this is, that you'll find literally all commentators, almost all of them, will literally say that this is Jesus Christ. This was their interpretation before the seals were broke by God Himself. The mystery was hidden to elude all men. But, well, you say, how easy is it? It's a simple. Revelations 19:11 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who's this? It's Jesus Christ. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Oh. You begin to start to see a discrepancy in the word. This writer had a name. This writer had crowns. And the scripture says he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Brother Brooks seen himself on that white horse. I want to see myself on there too. Oh God, quicken it to me, Lord. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Here we see a white horse rider. Does it say anything else about the white horse rider? But we know he was sent forth to conquer. Okay? Now, if we could, I want to go in another quote here. Fifth seal. Now, I read this, I think it was last weekend. It says in Watch 350-1, it says, and watch the one that went to meet him, the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the Word. When his false teaching went forth, the true Word went to meet him. That's the reason we had an Irenaeus, a Polycarp, St. Martin. And when that Antichrist was writing with his false teaching, God sent his teaching out, the Word, the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the Word made manifest in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit there to manifest Himself, which is the Word. Well, where should the Holy Ghost be manifesting Himself right now? In us. manifesting himself as what? The Word. That's the reason the early church had healings, miracles, visions, and power. It's because it was in the living Word. It was the living Word in the form of the Lion of the tribe of Judah riding out to combat that. Amen? Now, you got it? He sends his power, Antichrist. God sends his, the Word. Antichrist, false teaching. The true teaching went with it to combat it. So now it's breaking down what the lion really is. The lion is a true teaching of the Word of God. Which means that the white horse rider is a teaching that's close, but it's not the same. It's a false teaching. Now, that was the first one. Now, this was the first church apostolic that went to meet him. Now, I like this. First seal, 63:159-3, brother. It says here, and notice Christ is not seen anymore, see, from the time there. But he is on a white horse. This guy is riding a white horse. He's only an impersonator of Christ. Who was the impersonator to David? Absalom. Who was the impersonator to Jesus Christ? Judas. And now when it moved into the first church age, it looked just like Christ. It looked like a lion. It looked like a white horse rider. It looked like Jesus in every aspect. It was so close, it would deceive the elected if possible. Amen. Notice in finishing, he says, this rider has no name, but Christ is called the Word of God. That's what he is. He's called that. He's got a name that no man knows, but he's called the Word of God. This guy isn't called nothing, but he's on a white horse. You see the line of impersonation? Well, brother, this is in the past. No, this is now. Every one of us have to judge what the Word is. We have to stand by the Word. Now, maybe getting ready to close. I didn't do too bad. I was going fast. Now, 2 Corinthians 11:13. You say, oh, this is so overdone. This is just too much. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, why in the world is it in the Scripture then? Is the Scripture, is it there to be revealed to the people or is it not? But you see, this is the problem when we get in the message. Everything has to be love, 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 and no Word. We want the good Word, but we don't want the judgment Word. This is what it is. We don't want to stand there where it says they called them liars, they called them liars. When they called him false Christ, the Scripture said that. In the message, if you do that, my God, you're the wickedest person in the world. But that was the Word. That was the church ages. And what? You are the fulfillment of all the church ages now. You have to stand by the same Word. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Now, I'm telling you, you don't call people brother. You understand what I'm saying? It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, wait a minute. This is the foundation that we have fully laid. So now, notice Absalom, David, one man on each side. Cain, Abel, one man each side. Jeremiah, Hananiah, one man, each side. David, Absalom, one man, both sides. Solomon, Adonijah, one man, both sides. You watch the Spirit moving down. Judas, Jesus. But notice, When it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, remember what happened? I just showed you it. That literally you find the Holy Ghost falling on the people, and every one of them are now troublemakers. Which we see because notice what they did. They didn't just kill the preachers. They killed all of them. Because all of them were the problem. Because they all had that Jesus. But now we see this. We see now that there's an Antichrist anointing that just isn't on a Judas. But now there's false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The same anointing that was now there to make people Christians was now there, what, in the false form through Judas, through Satan, to make many his form too. And notice how it says it in the 14th verse. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Transform the ministers of darkness? They look just like you and me. Well, that's if we say we're sons and daughters of God here. Whose end shall be according to their works. Now, can I read a little bit more? I'm almost done. Unwelcome Christ in 1955, brother. It says here, and knowing this, that Satan is making his last punch at the church. Find it, brother?
Yeah.
I want you to read it with me. As far as you can, it's better if you can visualize it. It says in 106, it says, and knowing this, that Satan is making his last punch at the church. He will never be able to do it after this age. She will be safely under the wings of her lover after this time. Jesus Christ, our lover. And we realize that he's impersonating in the way of religion. Notice, he's doing all kinds of things. Now notice this, I love it. Love it, see how this ties. And the Bible said he'd be like a roaring lion, devouring what he would. He'd be so shrewd and cunning that he would deceive the very elect if possible. So what is the roaring lion? Is it just Satan wanting to kill everybody? Your prophet said it is what? It is Satan in the way of religion destroying God's children. What is it? It's a brand new way to look at that scripture, isn't it? You want more? Demonology, Religious Realm, 1953, 243. It says here, ooh, that's fast. And we know that Satan's gone about like a roaring lion, everywhere, devouring what he will, wearing religious cloaks. Oh God, these poor little children, look at them everywhere. They're open and exposed to the people. What is the shadow of Antichrist? I don't care if this is popular or not. I preach what the Holy Ghost wants me to preach. Amen. If God shows me something, I'm going to preach it. Amen. But you understand how close this is. You know what's so powerful about this? Your prophet talked about Shimei and about how Shimei come after David. And he said, he said that Shimei, when he was hurling insults and going after David, who was a type of the word, says, now if you notice he was crippled, it represents the spiritual crippledness of the people today that would make fun of the true Spirit of God in Christ manifesting itself. What was Shimei? Just a false teaching against the word. You don't need that. Well, what's the message today? You preach it. God's got to be here and we got to see signs and wonders. That ain't right. That ain't right. But it is right. But they look at you and call you a Pentecostal. Because it's the same Spirit. Now remember, what was Judas? Judas was just a believer with a make-believe doctrine. He had a faith, but he didn't have the faith. In the quote, he said, Seat of Discrepancy 65, now as I've said, Judas had no real faith. He had a make-believe faith. He had a faith that he thought that was the Son of God, but he didn't know that was the Son of God. He wouldn't have done it. And a man who will compromise on this Word of God being the truth, he's got a make-believe faith. Genuine servant of God will hang on that Word. I know that's hard. We get quiet every time. It's tough. But it's the truth. You say, brother, your prophet preaches so many times. You want 150 quotes? But you see what it is? You see why this is all important? You have to have the illumination of the church ages because it shows you what the Word is. It comes in the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It comes in a way to expose, right? And what? That's what's so powerful about this is that you see it working all the way down the lines. Cain and Abel, same thing. Abel had the right sacrifice. Cain didn't. Jesus had the right sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Judas didn't have him as a sacrifice. You see it all the way down. Praise God. So the shadow had been made plain. When was the shadow made plain? It was made plain in that day because Peter saw it. Paul saw it. They saw it. They told them. But if you kill Peter and Paul, you got some problems now, don't you, if the other people ain't catching the revelation. But thank God, now we have a word that's written, restored, fully known to us, and all we have to do is look at it and say, okay, there it is. You see what it is? We don't have to be the type of people that hate. There's no need to hate. Because the Scripture says what the Scripture says. Okay? My brother, my sister, praise God. But you know, when it comes down to the Word in expression, we have to stand by this Word. Okay? Who believes God? Who loves God? Who believes this is the Word? Shall we stand by the Word? Let's stand. So by the grace of God, we see that God is a great God. God is a God that loves us. God is a God that stands with us. Okay? Now we have a clear picture of the shadows, both of the good and the bad. And now, what are you doing? You have an open eye view of what the seals are. And we just started at the beginning. I didn't hear anybody say, oh, hallelujah, give me more! But that's what it is. This word has to be expressed. You don't think there's good things to this? You have Pergamos. You have church, the church ages too after this. That what represent the ox age. We probably won't spend a ton of time there, but we'll be there. But then, of course, you have the uplifting of the word in Luther's age, Wesley's age. And then you finish with the eagle age. We should be soaring by then, shouldn't we? I feel like I'm soaring already. Because I'm watching, I'm not looking just at a quote. I'm watching the scripture tie in with scripture. You're not just looking at a quote and say, okay, Judas went back and... No, you're following the line of what Satan was in every one of his children. And then found out that it worked right into the first church age.
Right.
Second church age, it's there. And it was a close anointing. It's close.
Right.
Okay? You love God?
Yes,
as we close, I'd like you to keep in mind, just keep in mind the Sanders family, amen. His brother Bill's, he's getting real bad. Keep him in your prayer, amen. That God will keep him to an end or bring him back up. Whatever God wants to do, but we just want to pray that God will give them strength and just allow them to keep pressing, amen. Some of us are going to be heading down there. I suppose all are welcome, however that desire is, but if you know them. But anyway, we just want to keep them in prayer. But above all else, okay, God, Lord, let me, God, have the full mind of Christ. God, that's what I want. I want the mind of Christ so strong that God, that this original word can bring the manifestation of what it is back in my life. Amen. You love God? Amen. Let's pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we're thankful, God, for the word you give us, God. And Lord, I know what you showed me, Lord. I know what you allowed me to see, Lord. And God, I just pray it now, Lord Jesus, that you'd allow the word to anchor deep into our hearts, God. That God, I, the church, we all would manifest the love of Christ so perfectly and so profoundly, O God, that God, you could bring forth, O God, what you said's coming, Lord. And God, evidently, Lord, this sermon, O God, was needed, Lord, to get the church there, Lord. And I believe it was, God. But Lord, I pray it, O God, that Lord Jesus, we could see, O God, the Spirit of Christ. We could see the Spirit of Antichrist, God. And Lord, we could allow ourselves, O God, to fully come in to this revelation, God. Lord Jesus, certainly, O God. Lord, let such a love, O God, come from our lives, God. That Lord, you could bring that capstone and let it set right in us, Lord. Cement us together with your Holy Ghost, God. Restore that word in our lives. God, we just ask it now, Lord Jesus, if there's any, God, that have been touched by the sermon, Lord, I pray you continue to work in their lives, God, to reveal the word to them, Lord. And give them strength, God. We understand, Lord, that these things are not usually accepted, God. These things aren't usually great sermons that we like to hear, Lord. But God, I'm not interested, God, in what I like to hear, God. I'm interested in what you reveal, God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, you'd allow me to love this word, God. Allow me, O God, to allow this word to perform in my life, God. Lord Jesus, I just ask, God, you'd give us strength, Lord, now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just sing a song. If you have any need of prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you today. Let's sing that song, I stand in all of you, amen. You all right? You look like I just pummeled you. It's not so bad. I know we went through the trail of the serpent, but that was a different take of it. It's amazing how many ways the Bible can go. Lord, I stand in all of you. Lord, I stand in all of you, my holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in all of you. Lord, I stand I stand in all of you. Oh Lord, I stand in all of you. My holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Amen. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Oh, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in all of you. Lord, I stand
Amen.